Patient number 16427, Major Thomas Ward, Reel 6.
Major Ward, Reel 6. You were saying that the ferry was listing as the freighter came alongside.
Yes. And although it was a very small freighter, we seem to be on the same level, so we must have been listing quite a lot, because the Queen of the Channel was a big ferry. And that then was that was our opportunity, while we were more or less level, so we jumped, we made it, and I didn't lose any of them, I'm afraid. I can't really say what happened to the rest on board the Queen of the Channel, but I would think that most of them would get off that ship. An hour later, we were on our way.
Did you stay on the deck on the freighter?
Yes, it's the only choice. And I selected a barrel to sit on. Now, I wondering all the way what was in the barrel. Didn't really matter. It did really, but, you know, I was sitting rather than standing on the deck of the other one. It's better. An hour after we'd changed ships, the Queen of the Channel sank, went under, we watched it.
Had other ships come up alongside to take off?
Yes, the smaller ships. I really think and hope that that hour, during that hour, most, if all, might have got off. It was a gentle sinking, if you put it that way. But what about the lads who were on the stern of the ship? I think if you're involved in a war, you've got to be lucky. And we certainly had been lucky. Well, on the way over, we spotted a Spitfire, our own aircraft, first one. I said, it's welcoming us home. Could have been. But felt that there was some contact there. Now we've seen photographs of the White Cliffs of Dover. We've heard Vera Lynn sing about the White Cliffs of Dover. And we watched the White Cliffs of Dover gradually grow in size as we approached Dover. I'm not ashamed to say that every time I hear Vera Lynn sing that song, tears roll down my cheeks. We went into Dover Harbour. We were instructed to go immediately to the railway station. I must say my lads took a bit of collecting because they got mixed up on the ship and so on.
But you got them all together again.
But yes, more or less. No, there were one or two missing, but I just couldn't.
You couldn't collect all of them.
Couldn't find them, but I was sure they'd got home because everybody from that little freighter was getting off. Now the instructions were to go to the station. There'll be trains waiting. Doesn't matter where the train's going. Get on it. You'll be sorted out later. Got onto the platform, and there was the Salvation Army. I'm sure everyone in my party will agree with me when I say that was the best meal of our lives.
Do you remember what they gave you?
Yes. It was a bun and a cup of tea, which I shall never forget. And it was even a good cup of tea. It must have been Yorkshire blend. Right, we got on the train. We should have been tired. We should have fallen asleep straight away, but I didn't. I'd got beyond that. I think I was awake practically all the time, as far as Yeovil in Somerset.
Had you managed to get any sleep when you were moving from your headquarters to Dunkirk?
Not really. We did on the beach.
When you were dug in?
When we were dug in. There was nothing else to do. My outstanding memory of that journey from Dover to Yeovil was that it was must have been a Sunday afternoon, I think. I haven't checked. But do you know, I saw 5 cricket matches on village greens during that journey. Tranquility and peace. A few miles from the war. I must confess I wondered how long it would take us to get ready for the Germans invading the south coast. It wouldn't be in our time, would it? We wouldn't choose the time. The Germans were already preparing. But perhaps the cricketers didn't know about Dunkirk that day. We arrived at Yeovil. We were directed to a gunner training camp. I got my lads in the right place where they would spend the night. Then I went to the officer's mess. I've never been closer to hitting an officer in my life. The reason for this was that in the officer's mess there was a major lounging in a chair with his feet on the mantelpiece. And I went round to say hello. And he says, "Who's this scruffy lot just come in?" Perhaps I had reason to be angry, but I didn't hit him.
Did you say anything to him?
I think I was too tired to get involved. I don't think I wanted an argument with anybody. The next morning, we had a good sleep that night. We did, all of us. The next morning I was asked to parade my company. Actually, the major was quite right. We were a scruffy lot, although we'd had a night's sleep. I'd lost my hat. I don't know what the others had lost, but nobody had any kit. No one or two in steel helmets. No equipment. No, nobody had any equipment. Well, I just said hello and said you're going on leave after breakfast. So what a marvellous breakfast. And we got on the train to take us wherever we wanted to go. Just going back to the first night at that camp, I arranged for the lads to be able to use the telephone to ring up home. My turn came and my father answered the phone. And neither of us could speak. It was so emotional. But I told him that I'd be on my way home the next day.
Did he have any idea of what had been going on?
Oh, yes. He was chairman of the Halton Price Council in this area for 2 years. That year, yes, they knew, and he always followed the news very, very closely. And I knew that my mother and father must have suffered, wondering what was happening to me. However, I arrived home and we had a beautiful leave. I was unwinding all the time. Arrived home, very tense, of course. And I just didn't want to do very much. And after about 10 days, I got a message to report to 69th Brigade Headquarters at Launceston in Devon. So I had to go all the way back.
Had you recovered yourself by that time?
Yes.
Roughly, have you any idea how long it was before you really felt okay again after arriving back home?
I was exhausted. I went to France as a young man. I was different. Only that, well, I was grateful that I'd survived. I didn't know why. I was so proud that I was still available to fight for my country. It made me hate the Germans, made me determined that there's only one way, and that was victory over the Germans. But I didn't know then that it was going to be another 6 years. I can say now that that experience I had had held me in good stead. In a very short period, I'd accepted responsibility and carried it out. I'd commanded a magnificent company. Didn't know many of them at the beginning, but soon did. Made me how proud I was to be a British soldier. And by the time I returned to brigade headquarters on the way, I was ready to have another go. And I thought, well, the future can't be as bad as what it has been during the last month or two. Arrived at brigade headquarters. Don't know what I expected, really. What I did want to know was what had happened. I still didn't know what had happened to the brigade major, the brigadier, staff captain, transport officer. They must be prisoners of war. See, I hadn't met anybody.
You'd been cut off,
who
hadn't
knew
you?
Then? I'd
Since
been
you
cut
started
off
for Dunkirk, you were cut off.
I was cut off the moment they left brigade headquarters. Before Dunkirk, I was told, on arrival, that all these officers had been back in England 1 week before I arrived. I couldn't believe it.
Were they still at the headquarters?
When I arrived, the brigadier was in his office. I didn't report to him immediately. I went round to see who else was there. There was nobody else there. Just one or two orderlies. No other officers. He was on the telephone when I went to his office, talking to somebody about what should we do if they invade? I was closing the door and he finished the conversation and said, come in. He didn't say welcome back. In fact, he didn't say anything, except saying that well, Just a minute, I've got something to do. I remember this, yes, that's right. He said that. And I never saw him again. But 2 days later, I was told that he was no longer a brigadier. He'd be demoted to major. And I never heard anything about him since. But after the war, he was around in the East Riding of Yorkshire. But I did get, never saw him, never sought him, never tried to see him. But I heard now and again when he attended the odd army reunion that he usually got booed. How very sad for such a man. The other officers who were my friends never saw again.
They also disappeared, did they?
They disappeared. It turned out that I was the only original brigade officer of the 69th Brigade to retain my position as a staff officer for the future. The following day, a new brigadier arrived, and during the next few days a new brigade major arrived, Major Gordon. A new staff captain arrived, Geordie Ross. And I was told that Peter Swift wouldn't be coming back because he was killed in France.
Did you hear any details of what had happened to him?
No. Only that he'd got out of his shelter or whatever during some trouble and he was shot, I think. It was probably his effort to beat the Germans on his own.
Was the new brigadier Colonel Steele?
No. Never saw Colonel Steele again.
Who was
it? I never saw Colonel Richmond Brown of the Green Howards again, because he came back with the brigadier a week before his battalion, with the battalion intelligence officer who was working under me as in the brigade, who was Rupert Alex Smith, who became a local dignitary in Hull, the Lord Mayor, and so on after the war. I was also Richard Elwes. He used to compose poetry in France. We used to go on walks. He says, listen to this one. And so I'll send you a copy of the little book when I've finished it. And he did. I've still got it. After the war, he became judge. And last time I visited Sledmere with some visitors to take them round the house, I asked the staff if Richard Elwes ever comes this way. They said, oh, he died 12 years ago.
Who was the new brigadier? What was he like?
A delightful man. Brigadier Barstow, straight from the War Office. Now, but tragically, he didn't last long. 69 Brigade was put into 50 Division. And the same battalions. And 50 Division was put into 5 Corps, commanded by General Montgomery.
Did you notice a change?
Now, General Montgomery visited us from time to time for tea. I was, of course, still at brigade headquarters, and once he looked around while we were having our tea and he says, none of you look very fit. You'll do cross-country runs. Who'll organise it? Oh, Brigade IO. Start by 5 miles and then increase it to 20. Better they die now than in battle. He says, I mean all officers. And they'd call to quarter troops. So I organised the cross-country runs. We fitted it in between training and so on. And I got on very well with the brigadier and went round with him, and we got on very well. He insisted on doing these cross-country runs. In a couple of months, he was dead.
Was that caused by the running, do you think, or...?
Well, he was very fit before we did cross-country runs. So, we had another brigadier, Brigadier Erskine, commonly known as Red Ted. I went to the Middle East with him, and he was brigade commander for quite some time. He, after the war, became governor of Kenya.
What was the brigade actually doing when you rejoined them? Were they reforming?
Reforming. And the battalions being brought up to strength. Certainly the brigade headquarters being brought up to strength, which had lost them all.
Did any of the chaps you'd brought back with you rejoin brigade headquarters?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So that you had the same body of NCOs.
That's right. And but the stragglers who joined us, I never saw again, of course. They went to their own
battalions. The Durhams and the Northumberland Fusiliers.
Yes, they were not in our brigades. So I never saw them again. And David Clay, I mentioned he joined us. But now I... Yes, he went to Dunkirk with us, and very helpful under the circumstances. But after I'd got to into England, I never really knew what happened to him. He certainly wasn't on our ship. Believe it or not, I VJ Day in the Bedminster, I met Ken Gardner, who was the transport officer, 7th Green Howards, at Dunkirk and under us, and went overseas with us. And I told him about this, and I said, you know, he did come from the Bridlington area, but I've never managed to trace him. Well, he says, I know his number, so I've got the association booklet. So he gave me it. He lives near Scarborough. I telephoned him and said, do you remember me? After 55 years, he did. He said, how did you get home? He says, oh, I came back on a naval ship.
So he got back safely?
Yes. So I was very pleased.
Was the brigade deployed on anti-invasion duties?
Yes. We had a 45-mile stretch from Christchurch.
Dorset.
Yes.